Welcome to Activate Yourself with Geeta Sidhu-Rab, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Geeta Sidhu-Rab.
Hi, this is Activate Yourself. I was going to say Activate Myself. You should totally activate yourself too. My name is Geeta Sidhu-Rab, and as always, I try and bring you ideas, thoughts, people that when life hits you and you have to kind of turn left, what it does is it activates you. You think this thing is your biggest punishment. You think this is your biggest trauma. And actually, I'm here to tell you, my guests are consistently and constantly here to tell you that in fact, it is your biggest joy. It activates your superpower. It makes you the biggest version of you. It just shows you up as who you are. And today's guest is one of those people, you know, as you get older, you realize that the privilege and the honor in life is to have the conversations that change your life. It isn't as about much money as you want. Although, you know, me and my private plane, I feel like saying I have a special place in my heart for that. I still want it and we're still having it. But actually, it's about a conversation that you can have with someone that is life-changing. And today's woman is that. I want to welcome Abby Adams from Project Woman. And I had a conversation with Abby and the conversation was hysterical because it kind of blew up and went here and there and everywhere. But you know, that's what it's like being a woman, isn't it? Women just don't have conversations that go in linear lines because why the hell would we do that? We have so many things to talk about. Welcome, Abby. Thank you for joining me.
Oh my goodness, it's so good to be here. And I'm so pleased that we moved the conversation from off screen to on screen because the gold was starting to bubble, right? It was just...
Yeah. But you and I both have conversations constantly. And I never really thought about this because for me, finding how to be a woman who had choices has been a 15-year journey, a 20-year journey, because I was brought up where that wasn't relevant, where I wasn't relevant, but what I did was relevant. What I did for others was relevant. And I always say that the shock for me was my best friend saying, what do you want to eat? And me going, oh, I don't know. It's like I was just kind of, food was put there and you had to eat it. You hadn't got a choice. And that is so bizarre when you think about it. Like me trying to tell my daughters that today, they'd just be like, are you okay? Like that, it just wouldn't happen. So I teach what I've learned, and my teaching now, and this is, I will let you get a word in edgeways, but it's because you got me all fired up before we came on air. The teaching for me, I think now, Abby, which I want to talk to you about as well, is that we're learning how to be women in a way that's never been prescribed before. No one gave us this space. And it's not like we had to be given it, but we were actively having it taken away from us. You know, and that's why we didn't know about menopause. That's why we didn't know about perimenopause. That's why we didn't know about periods. I have a TikTok I put up on periods. That's 700,000 views to date. What the hell? We are women that have a period every friggin' month practically, and we don't know anything about it. So talk to me about Project Woman, where you're, anything, frankly, just go for it.
You know what comes up is, and we hear this a lot in regards to educating women. Women deserve to be educated. Yep, I get that. But throughout all of these years that I've been doing what I've doing, I now realize, no, we don't, because actually we're already intelligent enough. What we need to be is reminded, because every cell in your body knows. It knows. You know how to menstruate. You know how to get pregnant and give birth. You know how to perimenopause. You know how to menopause. We know. It's there cellularly. It's like, you know, when you're born, you come out of the womb and the baby immediately goes to the breast. It knows what to do. So what's happened along the way? And we look at history and the communication within the history towards women. And what I want to just state is that this is not about blame. This is about understanding. And what's been directed at us is that we needed to be fixed in some way. There was something wrong with our physiology and biology because it came from a place of, I don't understand this. you know, the opposite sex just didn't understand how the female body worked. And so when we look back, and a great book for anyone to read to understand this is Unwell Women by Eleanor Cleghorn. My goodness, she goes back in history to the start of health and how Hippocrates, who done so much for us in regards to our health, but his understanding of female health came from a woman's womb would travel around her body and suffocate her because she wasn't getting enough sex. Now, obviously, he had a cure for that, but that understanding carved the way for every other understanding as to where we are right now.
Shocking.
What he also believed that back then was that women were too hysterical and they weren't intelligent enough to practice medicine on their own bodies, so they was banned from it.
So let me just stop you a moment, because the fact that women were too emotional has never gone away.
Oh, absolutely. And we believe that.
It's a term of abuse. Don't get emotional.
We believe that. Yes. We believe this. You know, I remember when I worked in corporate back in the day, many times going to the toilet and crying because I didn't feel that it was appropriate and it wasn't welcome and I would be seen as weak and blah, 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 blah.
And you'd be falling into the trope of the negativity of femininity, which is the biggest version of us, where we show up as negative.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what me and Gita has just said, can you see the echoes of this? It's still echoes, and it's
childbirth away from midwives who were all women.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, we look at this now. I just got a conversation yesterday about women giving birth and how we are relying more and more and more upon the C-section and these interventions. I had two emergency C-sections, and I'll be really honest with you. I feel that I still carried so much stress inside my body. You know, there'd been a lot of processing, but there was still so much stress around my body that's where that led to. I mean, I'm very grateful that the NHS were fantastic and I have two wonderful children. But when you hear of the stories from the likes of Zach Bush on his experiences within giving birth in various parts of the world, you know, I believe, don't quote me, that he was drafted to Vietnam when he was learning and he started off in Western medicine, and women just gave birth. It was no issue. There was no intervention. There was nothing.
Well, that's because they were healthy. Like, I had an emergency cesarean, then I had a planned one. And my emergency cesarean, to this day, I think came about because they said, lie down. If I wasn't lying down and I was doing what you do normally anywhere else, is that they have those birthing chairs, right? Mm. Where you sit there and you encourage, gravity helps you instead of you having to beat gravity while you lie down like some weakling. Mm. And then by the time my third child came, I'm like, no. I want a natural birth. I had to go and pay a private hospital, have an anesthetist standing by and a surgeon standing by in order for me to have a natural birth, because they didn't believe I could do it because I'd had two cesareans. This bullshit that we get fed.
Mm.
And I had one. I had a natural birth after two cesareans. Apparently it couldn't be done.
Did you, at this point, at the first, your first child, did you have a good relationship with your period? Did you know, like, the ins and outs of your period?
I'm Indian. No. What are you talking about, woman? Sex was my sex education. Okay.
Under a sheet.
My whole sex education was this. Sit in the back of the car. We're driving somewhere. I'm like, why am I in the back of the car? And my mother was in the front of the car and I was 10 or something. And she's like, you're going to get your periods. Then you can get pregnant. Don't get pregnant, because what will the neighbors say? I was like, sorry? Whole sex education. So don't give me any periods. I thought I was dying. My mother never talked to me about periods. And then I was like, I keep getting this thing, Mama. I don't know what's going on. I'm dying. I mean, and she was like, here, that's because you're just fat. That's why you're doing this. Here. And gave me literally.
Wow.
Yeah. No. So let's not say there was a good relationship with my parents, shall we say?
And this is why I get so passionate about it, because I found my period at 34. Not that I started at 34. I'd already had a child at this point. And I had massive life experiences in 2016 where my cousin was found dead on the kitchen floor from a brain hemorrhage. I started a miscarriage at a funeral. My mum got skin cancer. My husband's oldest friend died of a virus. So all of this stuff starts building up, right? And what do women do? everything's fine. I'm fine. You know, 2 days after I had the miscarriage, I went back to work teaching yoga. Abby, what are you doing? I'm fine. Wasn't. Realized if I wanted to keep my marriage, I had to take some time out. So I went and studied mixed movement, and we was moving the body all day, all day, all day. It was on this month while I was away that my period became less emotional. It was lighter. There was no clots. There was no pain. I was like, I can function. What's happened? Put the two and two together. I start researching, looking into the Red School, studying with Stacey Sims, Phil Richards, diving into, oh my goodness, my period. I didn't even know about it. I didn't know all this was going on and how this changes me at certain times of my month. It's the ultimate relationship, and yet I didn't know.
Let's quickly go on a break because I forgot all about that. And then we'll carry on this conversation.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. Right. The thing is, though, the reason you didn't have a relationship with your period is because it's like having a relationship with perimenopause. What I say about perimenopause constantly is that you don't understand that this is a gift, that your body is giving you a gift. It is telling you now is the time, because we do this thing of become crone and we shut up. Stop calling whatever it's stupid names. What we've actually done is got to a place where perimenopause is making you so physically uncomfortable, emotionally uncomfortable, and mentally uncomfortable that if you don't put yourself first, you will not survive this process. Mm. And women do not know, because we're never trained in it. In fact, we are actively prevented from thinking about putting ourselves first. And so perimenopause is where we are forced to do that. And so it is a massive gift. And within that, I can imagine with periods, you have the same gift.
Absolutely. But so this is the interesting thing with regards to when I said earlier about cellular memory, like your memory, another great book, The Body Holds a Score, right? I mean, phenomenal in terms of how every cell in your body has a memory. It holds your memories.
100%.
And I never forget, I was speaking to this woman years ago from Australia, and we was talking about me and my sister and our differences, but we both suffered in regards to our periods, and she had PCOS. And the girl said, you had childhood trauma, right? And I said, yeah. She said, well, why would the body want to have a baby when there's so much trauma around it? It's going to want to fight that. You know, that's the last thing that the body needs to do when there's so much trauma. And I'm like, mind blown, bang, 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 bang. Okay, yeah, I get it. When you look at perimenopause, around puberty, if you were going through a traumatic life experience, that is in your cells. And perimenopause is obviously the second puberty, as they like to call it, isn't it? It's that second coming.
Puberty is a traumatic experience. What do you mean if you are going through? When you develop boobs, when you start getting groped, when you start getting attention, like the puberty is traumatic because you suddenly get the attention of the opposite sex. And not knowing how to cope with it. And suddenly the jump from child to woman happens apparently overnight when you still are a child inside yourself.
I agree with that again. But this comes down to also as well, Geeta, how you digest stress. So when I speak about trauma, I mean, take me as an example. There was a lot of shit going on at home. And for me, I perceived it as quite terrifying at times. That's there. So as I come towards perimenopause, you know, this has been going on for quite a while now, this transition, that trauma started to come out of me. That's why I left London. That's why I had to address a lot of relationships. Like, it's a mirror. You start to, like you said, you have to deal with it. I hadn't dealt with it. I hadn't been really honest about what happened back then. And so all of this starts coming out in the wash. Now, I either internalize that, blame myself, hold it, make myself smaller, start drinking more, start trying to suppress all of these feelings because I can't deal with it, or I believe that I can't deal with it. And I make my perimenopause and menopause journey even more fucking uncomfortable and painful. Or I take a fucking deep breath and I start to create those changes, small steps. They don't have to be massive, small steps, and you get to where you need to be to make your perimenopause and menopause an experience that serves you, not knocks seven bells out of you. But coming back to the traumatic experience, so when I was going through puberty, actually, there was this stress that ran through me. I just started feeling this unbelievable way of wanting to move my body. If I'm being honest with you, I didn't really give a shit about like boys looking at me. It didn't bother me in that way. I wasn't that fussed. But I didn't know what to do with this energy.
Yeah.
Because young girls, you're a slag. I mean, back in the day, these were the words that were carted around, right?
Oh, for sure.
You're a slag if you do this, you know. Oh my God, she's a bitch if she did that. And it was all
slut.
Of
slut. Yeah. That's the other fabulous word.
So now you've got all of this wonderful sexual energy, and it's like, well, I can't do that because
and I'm you can't enjoy it.
No, and I'm gonna get pushed out of the community. I can't do this because I'm gonna be tarnished with that. I can't do that. And it's like, well, where do you go with all of this? But then masturbation wasn't that big either back then, was it? Because if you got caught with that, oh my God, there's something wrong with her. She's touching herself. Oh, right, we need to send her to the doctor. Let's get her on medication. I mean, when you look back at that time, it was so fucked up. But for us, you know, and we use the energy, don't we? I am so grateful for the resilience and the understanding that I have that's brought me to this point where this isn't right. This is not working for me. I don't want to be like this for the rest of my life. I don't want this isn't working for me.
Yeah.
I want to have fun. I want my life to be so vibrant and wonderful until the day that I die. For me, on the new moon recently, I wrote down, what do I value this month? And freedom, just like bang, big letters, freedom, freedom to move, freedom to speak, freedom to create, freedom to love. Okay. So what upon that, the layer on top of that, what is driving that or driving me towards that value? And when I look at my menstrual cycle and I look at this side of the cycle that I call the sacred side, you know, what emotions are coming up and what are my actions that are driving me towards my value? Because those emotions can get distorted sometimes, especially when from the outside, you're just
constantly that pressure.
Yeah. So again, you know, the communication, the expression, where is that coming from? And I come back to it always is how you digest stress. And that understanding comes from, obviously, when you was younger, what did you know to survive? What did you learn to survive? The emotions, you know, your actions. You're a slut. Can't do that. You're a good girl. Oh, I can do that. But really, do they work?
I think just talking about this, I just need to go back to bed. No, because I look at it, you know, and I find it so interesting because the new conversations that are coming up around periods, you know, I remember having a friend, Joanna Martin, who runs one of many, which is quite a big company. And Joe and I were at an airport flying back from a coaching session in the US, which is where we had met. And she said that everything that she did was color-coded around her cycle. She did this kind of work at this stage, this kind of work at this stage, this kind of work at this stage. And it's so interesting that that was the most unusual thing anyone had ever heard of at that stage, right? Whereas now here you are actually linking trauma and stress and periods and conversations like that, because, you know, how have we survived this long without having this conversation? How?
Well, we haven't, have we? Because you look at the plethora of female symptoms that are coming up now. And again, you know what, I was at a pitch with the Chambers of Commerce a couple of days ago, and I shared Project Woman's vision and story, and I brought up a statistic about endometriosis and how it costs 2.5 billion or million pounds a year in sick days and lost work. And one of the he was a man from one of the big companies was there, and we spoke after, and he said, when you spoke about endometriosis, he went, you really touched me, because, and then he started to cry, and he said, I am so sorry. He said, but my sister has just gone through the worst experience of her life. Mm. said because she was fired because she basically, she had endometriosis and she was fired for that because there was no support around it. This is what inclusive conversations create. You know, it doesn't just impact women. It does impact men as well.
No, for sure. We had this conversation just before we started where I'm saying that the best version of me as a woman is coming about at the moment because the help and support of a man, you know, and it's just the nicest thing. And hopefully we'll get to that conversation in a second. Please tell me more about Project Woman.
Project Woman, God, it really comes from my soul. And it is an online community that is reviving and refreshing and creating a confidence space for women to show up, speak out, remember what great female health is. But not only female health is a platform for your successes in life. You've got to be healthy, right, to be successful, whatever that looks like for you. And we are also now going out on tour and creating these wonderful experiences. I don't call them retreats because I don't feel women need to retreat anymore. I feel that we need time out to have some fun. So this is what Project Woman is all about. It's about gathering women, whether you are menstruating, whether you are perimenopausal, whether you are menopausal, whether you're pregnant, it doesn't matter. You know, it really doesn't matter. Whether you have great health, whether you have okay health, whether you are struggling with your health, if we can all come together, this is where great change happens. And this is where the conversation is supporting these women to go, oh, I didn't realize that. That's really interesting. I don't have to scroll through my friend's wedding album from 2002 to be reminded of what I need to do. Because we all know when we go on social media, we see a picture and, oh, I get caught up in this. Oh, yeah, I'm just going to look a little bit longer. And then 5 hours have gone past. What happened? Like, this is a space for intelligent conversation. We want to share with you some really interesting, juicy stuff. You know, it's just open for every woman to contribute. There is no hierarchy either here. Like, every.
What's the model? People come in. Sorry to be a businesswoman about this.
No, it's fine. Go for it.
What's the model? People come in and they pay to join your community. Is that right?
Yes, yeah, so the online community, there are free options starting from £5 all the way up to 40, whether you want to just be part of the conversation or whether you want to dive deeper into your period health, perimenopause or menopause. They are separate spaces, or you can have all of them. We have a directory of specialists ranging from your nutritionists to coaches that support ADHD. I mean, mind blown in regards to, again, how PMS is a totally different experience to a woman that has autism and PMS.
Oh, wow.
And their needs and the conversation around that. Whether you're looking for on-demand support, you know, what they call courses. I don't call them courses. Again, experiences where you can dip and dive whenever you want. Conversations, communication. We've got the screen room. We get you to check in with your cycle each week. Just a reminder, you know, we're not asking you to get down and give us 30. We're asking for you to think, how am I feeling today? Where am I in my cycle? Am I day 21? I know that the shit is going to hit the fan today. So do you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to get on social media. I'm perhaps not going to have that second coffee. I'm going to fill myself up with really good food. And oh my goodness, guess what? I don't feel as bad as what I usually do. It's just all of those things that remind you without overpowering you and asking too much of you to be a woman.
So it's taking health back into your own control and power.
Yeah. And
a feminine approach, then it's about external. Like, it drives me mad. My kids are always laughing about how weird I am. And I'm like, I'm just not weird. They're like, Mama, you were writing about sugar versus cocaine when we were 7. I'm like, that means I shaped an industry. That doesn't.
Yes.
They're like, no. It's the way that you eat. And then when we've got, because we're going to go, we're not Muslim, but we're going to go celebrate Eid with my daughter's best friend's family. And she goes, well, you know how weird you are. And I'm like, what? She goes, well, their food's all going to be white. It'll be potatoes and it'll be rice and you're going to die. And I'm like, no, but I'm not sure how I'm going to cope, you know? So it's this thing of being different. And even then, even having said that, and I'm a health expert, I am, I have done this 15 years. I've shaped the health in the United Kingdom over 15 years. I point to every new innovation. I started over 90% of them. And yet, Abby, and yet, I had no, I couldn't get to the stage where I could see there was a problem in how I see myself as being a woman, but I couldn't see what the problem was enough to take back all that power for me. So one of the things that you're doing in Project Women is you're saying, actually, be powerful enough to choose what's good for you, regardless of what anybody else is saying to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you only get there through trauma.
Adversity. You know, I'm very grateful, and this sounds bizarre to a lot of people, and I think my mum will find this bizarre as well, is that I'm so happy or so pleased that what happened to me in my childhood, because it has made me incredibly resilient. And what it's made me understand is that I survived that. I can survive anything. I can survive anything.
That is a good way to go on a commercial breaky thing, and then we'll be right back because I want to talk more about that.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So, we're back. Okay, now let me talk to you about something else here. Because when I deal with women who are, because we have a program that helps women change mindset around stress for women that are in, you know, 35 to 40 and above, so that the perimenopause and the way they enter perimenopause just becomes a liberating experience, not a traumatic one. I really hate the word resilient, because it's like I bounce back, and I'm not a frigging trampoline. I do not need to bounce friggin' anywhere, all right? I'm just not. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to survive. And I understand the concept, because like I had the worst divorce and we ended up homeless with my kids and I've been a single parent my whole life. I don't want to survive. I want to thrive. Mm. And I want there to be a place where I can thrive. But in society, the way that we live today, so much infrastructure is in place that we don't even understand the level to which we're gaslit. Mm. Into just surviving, because like I look at our feeds as women. Oh, she got over it. You will too. Yeah, you can do it. And I'm like, look at a guy's feed. Have you ever seen a guy's feed which goes, yeah, you'll get over it too? It's just shit doesn't happen. I know you're cracking up, but you know what? Let me tell you how this shit does not happen.
No, I make you right. I make you right.
It doesn't happen. And I want us, to me, that's another cage that I'm constantly, I'm sitting with women. I can't tell you, Abby, this language annoys me. So when I'm coaching my women, my clients, I have an entire module called Fuck Boundaries. Yeah. I hate boundaries. What is a boundary? You don't need, if I say to you, you don't have hair, you'd be like, duh, and keep going. You don't need a boundary to know you have hair. You have hair. If I say you don't have a vagina, you'll be like, duh, because you know you have a vagina. You don't need a boundary for that. You don't need boundaries for the things that you know about yourself are inviolably true. So when you need a boundary, it's for something where you're weak. And what a boundary teaches you to do is to shore yourself up. And, you know, you'll get, shut up. Why do I need, it just makes me gibber with annoyance. I don't teach, I'm like, don't have a boundary. Make yourself strong from the inside out so you don't need that boundary. But a lot of this personal development language is run so much by men, and that it's got such a masculine approach to it. And there are very few women having these conversations. And Oprah is kind of almost unique in how she'll let you come on and cry, right? Mm. But these conversations about resilience, about surviving, about boundaries annoy me shitless. Just saying.
Right. So let's come back to resilience. This is why I deal a lot with movement, because movement to me, you don't need words, and movement is creates an expression that goes far beyond the words and hits the spot. But as I am constantly reminded, you meet people at a level, don't you? And I remember a point when resilience made me understand what I had experienced. What I experienced back in my childhood was my power. I got through that because I was a powerful human being, and it was a stepping stone up. You would call that survival at that point. Yes. And then everything else I have applied has got me to here, where this isn't about survival for me anymore.
Yeah.
This isn't about struggle. And I tell you something else as well. I don't have to fight. I'm curious with the constant expression of warrior woman. At certain times of your cycle, she will come out. When we look at archetypes and the way that we look at expression, we can see these archetypes within the cycle. Whether, and I wanna make a point here of whether you are perimenopause or going through menopause, you still cycle. Do not think that you don't.
My God, it never goes away.
But you still have these archetypes that flow through you because it is their stories. They're stories. They are communication.
I love that.
So when we look at being a constant warrior woman, a constant survivor, a constant resilience, why? Because that's not what being a human being is.
No, you're still bearing arms all the way through that process.
Absolutely. But if you are addicted to that word, if you are addicted to that expression, then I think that there is something that you need to address. But coming back to you and the boundary side of things, I totally agree with you, because what I now understand about the boundary is that when you put a boundary up, you actually stop yourself from receiving what you're trying to get.
100%. And you stop yourself from learning it and then growing internally in power around it.
But there are some people, and I get this, that need to assert those boundaries to understand what it feels like to get past the boundary. And then
let's say start with the boundary.
Yeah.
I'm better with that one then. I'm not saying you shouldn't have it, but let's teach women, start with the boundary.
Start with that. If that is something that you want to focus on, if you find it hard to say no, if you find it hard to say yes, if you find it hard to be out there, why could a boundary be your stepping stone to understanding a different communication?
But then you're literally saying to this woman who is struggling, and I have been this woman, because I used to laugh and say I had doormat tattooed down my back. You know, I was just like, or, you know, up here somewhere. No, that was wife on my back. I was like, marry me, then abuse me, because that works really well for me. Honestly, I'm really comfortable there. And then when you're looking at that, it was like you had to say no once. And in a way, that's not a boundary, because a boundary is a wall that you hide behind. To me, that's a platform I'm giving you on which you can stand and use the word no. And it's 1 inch high in the first place. Then it's 4 inches high. Then it's a foot high. Then it's a friggin' height of a ceiling. And then it doesn't matter how high it is, because you don't need it anymore. And this is, I don't know, Abby, this stuff is really beginning nowadays to irk me, because I'm kind of like, I'm not enjoying this. This has now become another industry. I'm all for making money. I'm very expensive. Great. Really happy with that. I like what I do. I'm good at it. I charge for it. That's not what I'm saying. But it irks me that we're being put into another kind of an acceptable box of how we should operate. And I'm beginning to just, it's beginning to irritate me.
But we see these boxes crumbling all around us, don't we, with the likes of gender equality and people stepping forwards and expressing that, no, that doesn't work for me. This doesn't fit my skin. But it all comes back to, what do you believe to be true? You know, and there is that pocket that believe boundaries are the way to go. I mean, I'd be interested, again, like bringing up the ADHD and autism, you know, there are approaches that really work for a certain mindset, and perhaps that boundary doesn't look like a massive wall to someone that has autism and ADHD. Perhaps for them, it is almost like a door. We don't know, do we? Because again, I don't have ADHD and I don't have autism. So it is about creating that, again, coming back to that inclusive conversation. And for me, this conversation that I'm having with you now comes from understanding my female health.
Yeah.
Because when there's chaos going on within, you can't hear, you can't see, you can't feel. You can't process. You cannot communicate. So if someone's trying to tell you something, all you do is get irritated, because guess what? I'm not being heard. I'm not being seen. I'm not being listened to. This is the conversation that's coming up. And this is where we start to headbutt other dynamics. And so, again, I come back to every success comes from your female health, your human health. Understanding, is this working for me? Menstrual cycle health, perimenopause, it's all there. The conversation, it's so wonderful and liberating. And the freedom that you get from it is, well, there's no monetary value that is equivalent to it. Mm-hmm. And I get asked this so often, you know, well, I'm okay with my health. And well, why do I need to know about my period? It's an inconvenience. Okay, well, let's start with that one. If your period is an inconvenience, you believe you're an inconvenience, right? Because when that period shows up, what do you do with it? You hide it, you keep it under wraps, you tighten your body, you squeeze yourself, make yourself small. What happens? You know, my communication becomes smaller. I still put myself in dynamic situations, even though right then that actually terrifies me. Well, guess what that's doing to your nervous system?
Yeah.
So is everything fine? Probably not. Because again, as I said before, I prefer for you to tell me to fuck off than tell me you're fine. I find fine way more of an insult than fuck off. Honestly, I would prefer that you told me to do the latter than the former, because fine is just that in itself is a boundary and a cover up.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's, if you think about it, and then when you, I love what you're doing, because the more you talk about, and I remember those conversations, oh, well, men don't have to go through this. And it periods making the entire concept of being a woman more painful, harder work, just instead of it being something that we could ever celebrate, right? So it's a real shift in the conversation. Because you're saying basically that if we approached our bodies and our periods as a place that could have and give us love and joy and happiness, we would deal with our stress and our traumas better. And then we wouldn't have as painful periods or perimenopause or anything else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But also as well, you know, when I speak to women, like I said, tell me what's going on. And it's, oh, you know, certain times I get to this point and I just feel like the battery is just falling out of me, or I feel so drained. But, you know, I've got no one to rely on. I've got no one to talk to. There's nothing I can do. Okay, so just remind me, whenabouts is that, you know, roughly? And they'll tell me, oh, it's an ovulation, or it's just before menstruation. So there's some sensitivities with estrogen going on here. I wonder if we could just change a little bit of how you are moving, how you are eating. Just making sure that you are hydrated. And like next cycle, game changer. Game changer. Oh my God. So there we go. Like just a small approach has moved you forward, leaps and bounds, but you believe that you've been right.
Yeah. And change your quality of life completely.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, I love it. We could do this all frigging day and I'd still be a happy woman.
Yes.
Thank you, Abby, for coming on. And where do people find you?
You will find me like a rash everywhere. No, I'm a nicer form of rash. So I am on Instagram, I am on LinkedIn, I am on Twitter, I am on Facebook. We have the Project Woman online membership. I will pass all of these details to Geeta.
That'll be around the show.
Yeah, but you can reach me any way, shape or form. I'll put my email address down there as well. You are more than welcome to get in contact with me, because like I said, you don't know what you don't know. And that only comes about when you speak up. Yep. And I want you to speak up.
This was a great conversation for me, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it inspired you, because Abby Adams is a force for good on every level. And it was absolutely my pleasure. My name is Geeta Sidhu-Robb. This is Activate Yourself. And I really, really hope you enjoyed this. And I look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu-Robb or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.